coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, January 24th, 2022. I want to welcome everyone to today's broadcast. Thanks so much for your belief and your trust in us. This week does kick off our fundraiser. Steve Quayle, myself, funding, underwriting what we're doing. Steve on the archaeological side, and that might be a misnomer, so to speak, but that bringing up just a tremendous amount of information that overlaps kind of like a Venn diagram into what we're doing with respect to the on the ground fighting child and human sex trafficking, which is I want to thank people who are supporting this broadcast, because we are in fact making a difference to, well, just in the last 5 weeks, right around seven children, actually, two young girls, 6 and 7, and then seven, I'm sorry, so that would be nine, seven teenagers, two perps. So it's moving quickly, and the international, national and international human and child sex trafficking ring exposed, at least one leg of it. So this is good. Of course, if you have your ear to the ground, there are war drums beating, and of course, The war, of course, is Ukraine, Russia, United States. Perhaps more precise would be NATO, U.S., and against Russia, over Ukraine. The United States sent tactical security teams to Ukraine embassy after Moscow warns countdown is underway. And it's interesting as well, the United States had said, you know what, we're not in a position to evacuate citizens from Ukraine. This according to Blinken. And you have to sort of wonder, in a sense, what is exactly up? What's going on? What's the motive? Some might say, if Biden's approval numbers rose, war wouldn't be in the offing. And if you think about that, maybe that's a little bit somewhat true. But I think it goes much deeper than that. And I know you do too as well. You do as well. It goes much deeper. And there's a lot going on there. This has a lot to do with resources. And I'm talking about energy, pipelines, gas lines, and such. Now, this also has to do with the Hunter Biden laptop. If you remember, and I'm just going to touch on this, I had gone through the massive amounts of emails and documents on the Hunter Biden laptop. I wrote extensively about this at Wisconsin Christian News. This was last year. And I talked extensively about this. This week, I'll have a segment dedicated to exactly what's going on with Ukraine. But just know that the warmongers, the globalists and the left, specifically the left, want to demonize Vladimir Putin and Russia, which, while siding with the communist Chinese. If you think back to Patton, World War II, his remarks about the enemies and such, you know, it does apply here as well. But I don't want to get too far from, again, I'm gonna have a dedicated, very special segment, information-packed segment on this, because it's important for people to understand exactly what's taking place. But meanwhile, Jen Psaki has some advice for people. And did you see this? Eric the Tech, by the way, it's Monday. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good.
You're over your sniffles and coof and all that stuff?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good to see you. Good to see you. I could take the plexiglass down now or...
Nah, just leave it up.
Okay. Yeah. Little foot markers on the floor, 6 feet. Never mind. All right. But Jen Psaki.
What? Like us to leave it up. The plexiglass.
Oh, man, a few words, but poignant indeed. Let's listen to what and watch what Jen Psaki did and said here last week. Her recommendations, take these to heart. In case you missed it, here it is.
So my advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, pissed off, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, and then wake up on Monday morning, we got to keep fighting. And what that means, Lindsay, is we have to keep talking to members about federal legislation. That's essential. That's something that can be permanent, that can make sure people's rights are protected. But we also need to make sure people are educated in states across the country about what their rights are, how they can vote, when they can vote, how to request an absentee ballot. There's a lot we need to do on that front, and that's going to rely on the energy and the anger of those that activism as well.
So go to kickboxing classes. Go ahead, go have a margarita, get drunk, right? Let them drink margaritas. Hey, if you're frustrated, go ahead.
Don't tell me when I can have fun.
Well, wait a second. If you're in DC and you want to go to kickboxing classes, you have to be vaxxed up, right? You have to be up to date. Now see, the language is changing, of course. So up to date, okay. And you have to show your papers. Same with, you know, wanting to go out and have a margarita with your friends. You've got to, in D.C. at least, and other places, New York. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but I think what was...
The set, sheep pass.
Yeah, exactly. Sheep pass.
I have it. Give me my drink.
You know...
I'm thirsty.
Eric the Tech is can you do other accents aside from the sheep accent? I'm joking about that. But anyway. You know, it's getting so crazy out there, all right? Because the lines have been drawn. And the psychology behind what's happening, just to touch on this briefly, this would be link number three. Eric the Tech on the show prep. Just to show you what's happening out there, still happening, as the as this mess progresses, the attempt to divide us internally continues. And it's working. I'm not even sure I know how to explain the level of division we're seeing, except it's a psychotic division. I'm going to show you this in case you missed this as well. This is a woman. Here's the context of this. This is a woman who goes into it. Now, I got to warn you, there's some language here. So if you have little children, you don't want to hear some language in this video. Act accordingly.
I can't handle the language.
No, I know. I got a couple of emails like that. And you know what? If that's the biggest objection, then, you know, okay, God bless you. But to show you, you know, caught in the wild, in the real world here, what's taking place. This is a woman who goes into a grocery store without a mask. When I say in the wild, you know, I'm not exactly 100% sure where this is. I didn't have time to dig down to find it exactly where this was.
Somewhere blue.
And I have to say, yeah. Now this is from August. Now here's somewhat of a backstory. I shouldn't say I didn't have time to do the entire backstory. This goes back to August, but it's still relevant to today, which this is kind of a segue into the main point here. But and you could tell, obviously, by the clothes that are being worn here that it's summertime. But I want you to take a look at this. This is getting some new some new float time here on social media. Take a look at this. Now, more of the backstory. This woman reportedly was harassed by masked people before all of this happened, either took out or might have sprayed in the direction. Again, this is unconfirmed, some pepper spray. But this will give you an idea toward the people who are harassing her. But this will give you some idea as to the level of crazy that we have been at now for several months. And the question from this is, can this be sustained? And the other question, question number two, is who are our real enemies? It was said once, and I don't know who did this or said this, but if you take red and black ants and you put them in a jar and they kind of hang out together. Now you shake that jar and they start warring with each other. They start killing each other. So the question is, who's shaking the jar? And are we really at war, at odds with one another? And the more intellectual question, I suppose, would be, has that complete sealing of one's brain, especially in the get the jab and you'll like it and shut up, has that been seared and sealed, cauterized mentally? So this is the segue into really the other part of the what comes next. But show this again, this from August, but it continues today in various spots. I did receive a couple of emails about little dust-ups like this, not to this extent, but like this in various parts of the country, specifically in the West Coast, which I, again, listeners, they email me, they send me little video clips. I can't really authenticate them, but go ahead and play this clip. Okay, now I'm not going to replay that, but you see what's happening right now? Again, from August, but September, October, November, December, January. All right. And obviously, this woman, for the radio listeners, this woman is being dragged, actually assaulted by a man and woman. Apparently, the man and woman are together. And she falls to the ground and falls to the floor in this grocery store and then gets kind of pulled out by the woman. But the question is, are we ants in that jar that's been shaken? Well, let's turn to Bobby Kennedy from this weekend. And this is interesting, which will lead up to the final video. And the final video is a very powerful video from Australia. But this very powerful video from D.C. this weekend on the Defeat the Mandate D.C. organization. Let's play that. Again, Robert Kennedy, 2 minutes of just absolute truth to give you the bigger picture of what we're fighting. Go ahead. Oh, got some video overlap there, Eric the Tech says. But there's a Greg Reese video that if you haven't seen this, it is powerful. That'll be the next up. So here's Bobby Kennedy, Washington, D.C., just to kind of give you an idea of what's taking place here domestically and the warning and the bigger picture by Robert Kennedy Jr. Here it is.
Nobody in history of the planet has ever complied their way out of totalitarian control. Every capitulation is a signal to the oppressors to impose new forms of torment or torture or compliance or obedience. Every time you comply, you get weaker. The hill that you're going to die on is the hill that you're on right now. And they're coming for our children. And every time they push you back, when you say yes, because you think, if I just do this, we can all return to normal. Every time they talk you and fool you into, bullies cannot be appeased. It just encourages them to new forms of torture and torment. Every time you say yes, you're getting pushed back to a weaker position. That's why we need to resist today. You, all of you in the crowd, I thank you. I love you. You came out on this cold, cold day to do your duty for the United States of America. Let's go and fight for freedom, and let's return to our build back for our children, the America that our children, our parents fought and died for. Thank you very much.
You know, that's pretty good. I mean, it was like eight degrees wind chill, or 8 degrees real temperature out there. And there were really thousands of us showed up for that mandate. Meanwhile, in Canada, we've got the truckers convoy to Ottawa, which is fantastic. A lot of this not getting much press, or if it is getting press, it's very pejorative. You know, for example, tens of people showed up in Washington. Okay. No. If you saw the crowd there and in other locations across the country, quite a formidable crowd saying enough, enough, enough. Again, the bigger picture here is, I've got John Moore coming up too. Is John on? Okay. All right. Before I get to John, I want the big video, the Greg Reese production, it's a speech that applies to Australia, but really every nation, Australia, Canada, and the United States, because we've got multi listeners in many, many countries to this show. And this really struck me. It struck me in the heart. It struck me intellectually. And I want John to hear this as well, in case he didn't hear it or didn't see it. But before I get to John, I want to thank my corporate sponsors, including and especially the Lightstream. You know, if you've been thinking about those credit cards, and many people have, that they've used over the holidays. Hey, look, I know that sometimes you just gots to charge it, right? Sometimes, depending on the situation. Well, if you're thinking about the cards that you used over the holidays, if you're thinking about the high interest rates on them, Lightstream.com/Hagman has a very, very special, absolutely special deal for you. You can lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, and you can even get it as soon as the same day you apply. Now, this is just for my listeners, this offer, and this is a fantastic offer. Please take advantage of this. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. And Hagman is spelled HAGMANN. Make sure you have two N's on Hagman. lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR, and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You'll be glad you did. I'm telling you right now, you will be glad you did. Let me just, right, okay, there we go. I had to move that around a little bit. Papers on my desk I was talking about. All right. John Moore from thelibertyman.com. He does a radio show Monday through Friday. He's got tremendous guests. If you haven't done so already, go to thelibertyman.com and bookmark that website. Please do that. Listen to his radio show. We just have to, stop the hammering. Now I'm getting the, Eric said, hey, John, turn on your video when you're ready. But I want John, I want you to see this, and I would like everyone to watch this. Again, this is the video from Greg Reese. This appeared on band.video, InfoWars as well. This really struck me as a call to arms. And then we're going to be getting into this and some other other things, including the foreign affairs situation with John Moore, the Liberty Man. But let's take a look at this. The title of this video is The Oath to Serve Your Country. The Oath to Serve Your Country. And it's about 4 minutes in length. Just watch this.
Men and women of the Australian Defence Force, both serving and retired, volunteers or national servicemen and women, veterans all, we are at a point in history without precedent, a war for the world. Now, many of you know that truly malevolent forces have been attacking and undermining our nation for longer than most of us have lived. They, our adversaries, have executed their monstrous plans against innocent men, women, and children. They fight with a pre-biblical barbarity, without decency and without constraint. They fight without courage and without compassion. Their war against the people is undeclared total war. It has been a traitor's war, a dirty war, a coward's war. We know only too well that unless we halt and then reverse this unrelenting attack on every aspect of our lives, we will lose everything we love and enter a period of civilizational darkness more depraved than any period in human history. We must act. However, this is not a call to arms. Our soulless adversaries and their mindless enablers would like nothing better than for a shot to be fired, because to do so would legitimize in the minds of many somnambulant Australians further unconstitutional and unlawful constraints on our rights to our lives, our liberty, and our property. We will not give them that excuse. We know we never fight on ground of the enemy's choosing. We must fight, but in doing so, we must win the people. At every opportunity, we must stand with the people, unarmed but in uniform. Our weapon, pure courage. We took an oath to serve our nation, and what is our nation if not the people? By our presence in uniform, alongside and with the people, we are sending a powerful, unambiguous, and galvanizing message that in this war for the world, we, the people, are united and invincible. We must demonstrate the pure courage born of love of family and love of country that beats in the heart of every soldier, sailor, and airman. Because what is courage but love in action? And if you love someone or something enough, you will do what must be done, regardless of the cost to you. Perhaps we will lose our property. If so, what of it? We can always acquire more. Perhaps we will lose our liberty. If so, what of it? We can eventually be set free. Perhaps we will lose our lives. If so, what of it? There are destinies much worse than death. These sentiments are too much for most to understand, much less accept. And that is all the more reason for us, for you, to stand with the people. Now, you might be challenged to explain why you chose such a course of action. The answer is simple. You will be doing what military law, civilian law, and just plain common decency require and demand. You are disobeying the unlawful commands given by the admirals, generals, and air marshals of the Australian Defence Force to participate in the genocide of the Australian people. They are guilty, and you will be innocent. The oath to serve your country as a soldier did not include a contract for the normal luxuries and comforts enjoyed within our society. On the contrary, it implied hardship, loyalty, and devotion to duty, regardless of rank. Ladies and gentlemen of the Australian Defence Force, it is time for you to serve not the admirals, not the generals, and not the air marshals, but to endure hardship, show loyalty, and do your duty for your country and your people. And remember that, in the words of G.K. Chesterton, we fight not because we hate what is in front of us, but because we love what is behind us. I'm Ricardo Bozo, National Leader of Australia One. Thank you.
I thought that was a fantastic report by Greg Reese. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. By the way, I want to thank everyone for passing word about this show, about the Hagman Report. We're in the top 50 of TalkStream Live talk shows, as well as where else are we on? Spreaker, all across Spreaker, top 50. So that's thank you very much. Up there with some big hitters, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing this platform with others. John Moore, the Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com. John, come on in and let's talk. What'd you think of
that? I'm here, Doug. Good morning.
Morning. What'd you think of that?
Who was the speaker? I didn't get that.
That was a gentleman from Australia, a leader from Australia, talking about you know, what the armed forces need to do. Australia won, what the armed forces need to do, the people who have sworn an oath, what we need to do, all of us.
Was he active duty military? I didn't get that.
You know what? Well, let me double check. I'm not sure. I was so focused on the message. The messenger was secondary to me. The okay, message itself was like slamming, you know, right on. I don't know what you thought of that, but I just thought
it was a very powerful message, and the fact that it's taken so long shows the people in Australia are very tolerant of the brutality shown to them by their own government, by their own military, by their own police.
Yeah. But by the way, that was Ricardo Bossi. And I apologize for not having this at the ready. Ricardo Bossi, Ricardo Bossi from Australia. So no, I'll just leave it at that. But you know, so this is bigger. Whether we're talking about the mandates, of course, that are taking place here in the United States, Australia, of course, and every word there from Mr. Bossi, specific to Australia, it could be specific to Canada, it could be specific to the United States. You know, it's God's law. It's in the hearts of men and women. It's in our hearts. Regardless of whether we took an oath or not, however, that oath does mean something and it never expires. But that said, I'm looking at the situation, John, and you help me out with this and go with this where you want to go. We've got about an hour here now, starting about now. So but here's how I'm looking at things. I'm looking at things. We have an installed puppet in the White House. You've got, if you can put up that Eric the Tech, sorry to bother you again. And John, take a look at this. If you can show, John, I'll tell you what, and folks watching this, if you can look at your screen, there's a small video of a Klaus Schwab wanted poster spotted in D.C. Actually, the wanted poster is a video of a bus passing by, but the still image is there. It's got Klaus Schwab, Rachel Walensky. It's got Big Pharma. It's got others, including Fauci on it. There's the bus itself. There's a still image of the bus. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the mandates. I'm looking at the tyranny that Robert Kennedy spoke about. I'm looking at the foreign issues, including but not limited to Ukraine. I'm looking at Taiwan and China, the weakness that the United States is presenting to the world. I'm looking at all of this as a managed decline, not something that happened by accident, but a managed decline. So having said that as a foundation, John, talk to me. Tell me where you're looking and what you're seeing and what you're thinking about.
Okay. Well, I've talked about this before on my show, but much of the year 2015, I was accepted the mission to put together a team to go to Ukraine and train Ukrainian special forces to be compliant with NATO special forces. It turned out the mission didn't happen, but I did learn a lot about Ukraine at the time, met some great guys, and learned things that most Americans don't know. Ukraine is critical to what's going on right now. The breadbasket of Europe, beautiful, productive, intelligent people, and they've become pawns on the international chessboard, unfortunately. When they broke away from Russia, they had nuclear weapons, and they didn't want to give them up. Russia wanted them to give them up. All the NATO allied forces wanted them to give them up. They agreed to give them up in exchange for protection from Russia by the United States and the NATO forces. That was the agreement. And I'm not sure how formal that agreement was, but we're honor bound to honor that agreement. Russia, on the other hand, is concerned about forces on our border, which is reasonable. I don't know what their goal is. Do they want to take over all of Ukraine like they did prior to the fall, the collapse of the Soviet Union? I don't know what's going on inside the Kremlin. I don't have access to that information. I do know they have legitimate security and economic concerns. They are legitimate, and they should be respected.
You're talking about Russia now, right?
Yes, sir. Russia.
Okay, because
Russia,
today, yeah. As of this morning, NATO announced that it put its forces on standby while initiating deployment of additional ships and fighters to Eastern Europe. NATO, this is a quote now, NATO will continue to take all necessary measures to protect and defend all allies. Now, does that include Ukraine? But anyway, including by reinforcing the eastern part of the alliance. This according to the NATO Secretary General. Now, what's happening, the United States is pulling out and telling all non-essential personnel to leave the to Kiev and leave the embassies. But Europe, England, the UK, and others, France, Germany, they're not. So there's this mixed message.
That clearly shows political posturing.
Yes.
That's what it does. If the threat of war was imminent, the other embassies would be evacuating their people also. That's what's done prior to a war starting, and that's the right thing to do. The fact that they haven't done that shows that what's going on with the American embassy is political posturing and nothing else.
And here's the other part of this too, that NATO or the Kremlin, I'm sorry, has reiterated its plea to stop this hysteria. You're making matters worse. You're hyper sensitizing the entire situation. One NATO diplomat has been cited in reports today saying that the Biden regime, or their words, the Biden administration, is mulling a move to transfer some troops from Western Europe to Eastern Europe in the coming weeks. And that also follows the movement of military assets to that area. So what the heck, you know? I mean, Western allies are also pointing to additional Russian military units now deployed to Belarus in preparation of announced joint war games. You know, that war games, by the way, and war maneuvers that were said to be have been scheduled for like a year, but it doesn't show up on any of the websites, and I did check, of the military in terms of their announced maneuvers and war games. Now, I realize, too, that some are unannounced, but in typical fashion, things like this would be. But anyway, so, you know, again, you're right in your assessment. This does suggest that the Western powers, France, Germany, and such other countries, they're not on board with this.
No, not at all. Well, we've got more than a century, Doug, of wars being started that the United States has been involved in that were started under false pretenses, under false flag operations. We just finished two decades of war in Afghanistan and Iraq, that were started under false pretenses. And it looks like we might be at the edge of that again. Unfortunately, China and the China card is on the table. Russia doesn't want or need war. They really don't, on one hand. On the other, China does. China does want and need war. They want to colonize Africa, which they're already doing. They want to colonize the United States with no Americans. They're prepared to do that. Russia may unfortunately be dragged along for the ride against their will. I hope cooler heads will prevail. There was a Russian general who stopped World War III by himself a few years ago. I think it was Norway that launched a missile had a satellite for whatever scientific reasons they were launching it. The proper protocols were not announced. The Russian early warning system showed a missile launch. And this general, this Russian general by himself, stopped World War III from happening. He, on one hand, he was awarded a medal. On the other, it damn near drove him insane once he realized that the weight of the world was on his back and on his shoulders. We found out recently that Russian generals and American generals behind the scenes were cooperating in the Middle East to make sure things didn't get any worse than what they were. When Obama found out about that, he shut that down. This is before President Trump went in office. Obama wanted war. Obama wanted things to get really, really bad. But the Russian generals and the American generals were in a cooperative effort behind the scenes to make sure things did not get any worse. There's a lot of players in this. Turkey, on one hand, is officially a member of NATO. They're right across the lake there from Ukraine. I'm calling the Black Sea a lake because it's really not much more than a really big lake. And on one hand, like I say, they're a member of NATO officially. On the other, they're really buddy-buddy with Russia. So they got feet in both sides of that war. Very dangerous, very dangerous. And of course, the president of Turkey wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. That's his goal.
That's a good point to really drive home. We've talked about that in the past. And the resurgence and the recreation of the Ottoman Empire is like a big deal with Turkey. Yes. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, the Ottoman Empire lasted for about six centuries. And I can't say it now, but there were people alive who were part of the Ottoman Empire as adults. They pretty much all died off now, as far as I know. The Ottoman Empire ended in 105 years ago. But many people in my lifetime and your lifetime, Doug, were young adults when the Ottoman Empire was flourishing for 600 years, six centuries. For six centuries, you could be born in Turkey, marry a woman from Egypt, and raise a family in Syria. That's the way it was. Trade and commerce and education and families. It's kind of funny. American officials, when we were fighting these needless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, they would talk about foreign fighters coming to Iraq. Foreign fighters coming from Egypt and from Syria and from Turkey and so forth, Lebanon. And, of course, all the Muslims think, what are they talking about, foreign fighters? I have cousins in Egypt. I have cousins in Syria. I have cousins in Turkey. You don't erase six centuries of commerce and trade and cultural events just because the empire went away. The formal part of the empire may have went away, but all those cultural and family ties did not go away. That's still part of that part of the world and is not about to change anytime soon. So that's an underlying part of all this, because Ukraine is right across the lake there, the Black Sea from Turkey. And Turkey has their own agenda. And they'll play whatever side they need to play in order to achieve their goal. Russia is very familiar with this.
Then let me ask this, because again, having gone through the Hunter Biden laptop, We know that Burisma, Hunter Biden, his energy dealings in Ukraine, all of this, Joe Biden's meddling with the prosecutorial bodies in Ukraine. Where does that play in, if anything? Because Hunter Biden was paid by Burisma some $80,000 a month just to sit and do nothing, to sell, I mean, physically do nothing, but provide access to the White House at that time. And even...
That's a big... that has value.
Right. Right,
the value was $80,000 a month to have that access. So that's a service he provided, was that access.
True. But, I mean, he didn't have to do anything. He wasn't, obviously, Hunter Biden. But I guess, so is this payback from Biden in a sense? Because Ukraine essentially kind of gave him up or gave up on them, or Biden... Ukraine cut off Hunter Biden, and now Joe Biden has got a thing for this. I mean, does that play into this at all, do you think?
Well, he's not acting as a man who wants to wash his hands of Ukraine. He's acting as a man who is treating Ukraine as a close, friendly ally, is what I see, by making the moves he's making. And we, of course, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. That may or may not come out decades in the future. We simply don't know. The Ukrainian people don't deserve to be the next hot spot on the planet. They've done no harm to anybody. The common citizens in Ukraine are just great people who want to live their lives and be left alone. That's their goal. These big players, however, have other designs. I don't know if Russia would like to reincorporate Ukraine back into the fold of Mother Russia. Ukrainian people seem to not want that.
Now, when you say back into the fold, many will disagree, say it never was. The history is complicated, but that's okay. I just want to let you know that you might get some blowback. Well, Ukraine was always independent. I mean, historically, but
when they were part of the Soviet Union, they were behind the Iron Curtain, and they suffered just like all the East European countries did behind the Iron Curtain, with the travel restrictions and censorship and everything else that went on. So they weren't voluntarily part of it. Joe Stalin murdered tens of thousands of Ukrainians, sent them to gulags where they never returned.
That's right.
The Siberian death camps.
Yep.
Of course, they were part of the Soviet Union. I mean, that's a historical fact.
Well, in modern times, I suppose, in antiquity, you've got some tribal different. But yeah, without going into that depth, if we're looking at current history right now, I'm just saying. Because otherwise, you're going to get some purists out there emailing and saying, or emailing me saying, you don't know your history. Well, we're trying to condense this. Go ahead.
Well, I should mention that for the first time ever, both Russia, the Russian government, and the Chinese government have warned their people to get prepared for war.
Yeah.
We've had independent warnings over the decades during the Cold War. We've never had both countries warn their populace at the same time to prepare for war. The Russians have warned the various cities and villages are all around Russia. Russia covers 13 time zones, by the way, more than half the planet, to prepare graves for the incoming deceased soldiers. That's already taking place. This is nothing to be taken lightly. The Russian government, any government that thinks it's about to go to war, will do its best to prepare its people ahead of time. That's what's normal. That's what's done. That's what's been done for centuries. That's what's going on right now with the government of Russia and the Russian and the government of China. The American people should be doing the same thing on one hand. On the other, most Americans are totally unaware of what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on with China, both their threats against Taiwan, they're colonizing Africa, their plans to colonize the United States. Most Americans are completely ignorant of those matters. Mm. Our audience is a thinking audience. Our audience, Doug, actually owns and reads books, which most Americans don't, by the way. So we have an educated audience who's aware of what's going on. We have our outreach here on your show to reach as many of these thinking, alert, awake Americans as we can to prepare for what's probably coming. The world economy is about to fall apart. And a great way to conceal that and make it apparently go away, or at least people won't care about it anymore, is having a massive war. And we may be at the edge of that, Doug. I hope not, but we may be at the edge of that taking place.
It would seem to me that looking at the China-Taiwan situation, Japan under threat and threatening as well, how did we get to this point? It was Obama, and then we had really relative peace with Trump, I mean, in his America First policy, right? Avoiding foreign entanglements like this, kind of talking people down. And now all of a sudden we've got Obama 2.0. As you mentioned before, Obama really wanted to push the envelope with Russia, Ukraine. And don't forget, Obama was part of the nuclear de-escalation or disarmament the team as a junior senator, which was almost unheard of, being sent to Russia and other places. But that said, I mean, what's going on here? Are we being looked at? Is America being looked at as a paper tiger, as powerless, or as internally conflicted? I mean, or all of the above? I mean,
I believe we're being set up for defeat, Doug. That's my heartfelt belief. We're being set up for defeat.
Okay.
The U.S. military, in terms of sheer numbers of people in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, is smaller now than it was on December 7th, 1941. People may say, well, we got these gee whiz Star Wars technology. Well, we do, on one hand. On the other, the Russians and Chinese have even superior gee whiz Star Wars technology. Russians also have tactical nukes that make almost no radiation, making them very usable. The Russians and the Chinese have massive EMP weapons. Under the Obama administration was actively blocking, protecting the national power grid from EMP attack. I thought for years it was just inadvertent bumbling on the part of Washington bureaucrats. I found out after President Trump took office that the Obama administration was actively blocking funding to protect the national power grid. That's treason in my book.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, so,
okay. Yeah, in mine too. Okay. Interesting to know.
I believe behind the scenes that Joe Biden is in a cooperative effort with the communists to cause the United States to be defeated. It may be something as simple as surrendering. We are faced with weapons that we cannot possibly counter. We don't have any countermeasures. And President Biden would make a nationwide speech at dinner time mentioning and stating how we have had to capitulate because of the threat by Russia and China to wipe us out.
That would be an early bird special dinner time speech. Just so you know. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before us putting in ice cream and oatmeal and stuff. Go ahead.
Wars are won by warriors, alpha male warriors. That's who always wins wars. The alpha male warriors in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard would fit in one college football stadium with several thousand seats left over. The rest of the people, fine young men and women. They may be great at their jobs, running computers, radios, being mechanics, whatever their job might be. But they're not alpha male warriors. They don't have that persona. They don't have the training. The alpha male warriors are the Marines, the U.S. Army infantry, artillery, armor, the special forces, obviously, U.S. Navy SEALs, and so forth, the pilots in the Air Force, the combat pilots in the Air Force. Those are the alpha male warriors.
Can you imagine using today's forces under the direction of our current military joint chiefs? Can you imagine like a D-Day scenario, an invasion of Normandy? You know, can you imagine that even taking place today?
No,
I can't either.
No, we couldn't do that. We had tough young men, mostly alpha male warriors, who signed up for World War II. I can't imagine General Patton being able to put together the Third Army like he had in Europe. I can't imagine that even being a possibility now. The U.S. military has become too feminized and too woke, as the saying may be. And now with the COVID clot shot, they will be sick and dead. And that's what's coming, because they'll be mandated to take a booster shot every 5 months.
Right.
For 8 cycles, that would be 3.5 years. Most of them won't make it to 8 cycles booster shot every 5 months, because they'll be disabled or dead. That's where this is headed. Let's recall the sworn affidavit of Lieutenant Colonel Medical Doctor Teresa Long, who said under oath, and in her sworn statement under oath before sworn testimony in Congress, U.S. Senate, that all pilots receiving the COVID-19 clot shot should be taken off flight status.
Yes.
And that's the tip of the spear. The pilots in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, they are the tip of the spear, along with all the others I just mentioned. And that was a career-ending move on her part. She gave that sworn testimony and that sworn affidavit under protection of the Whistleblower Act. It wasn't only a few weeks they took her off her status in Alabama as being the doctor who certified all the pilots for the U.S. Army down there in Alabama. Obviously, a demotion from her normal duties.
Do we know to what extent that has happened? Because you can always make that claim and say, look, no, we should not have them on the flight crews. What's happened with that? Because I haven't heard anything since that statement was made, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
It's been 3 months ago. Okay. Well, all active duty personnel at this point, with tiny exceptions, I think in the Marine Corps, something like 0.4% of the religious exemptions were granted to the Marines. So pretty much in totality, everybody active duty military has now got the COVID-19 clot shot vaccination, alleged vaccination, which is not a vaccination.
Right.
And I'm sure that the disabilities and the deaths will start mounting. Of course they will, especially when they get the booster shot. First booster shot, 5 months. Second booster shot, another 5 months. That's slightly more than 2 a year. From the time they get their initial one to the time they got the second booster is less than a year. We're in deep trouble here, Doug. There's no doubt about it. We are definitely in deep trouble.
We are indeed in deep trouble in many respects. What's at the epicenter of all this? I mean, what's at the heart of all this? Is it, John, is it not the fact that we have abandoned God, that we have abandoned our principles, our morals, our God, commandments, the biblical. I mean, we are in a state of spiritual bankruptcy, I believe. And is this not playing a role in what we're seeing? It has to.
Well, of course we are, Doug. And we have lost our moral compass. Our moral compass is our connection to God, our connection to the Bible. And we've lost that over the decades by design. It didn't just happen. It's not some kind of evolutionary construct that just happened on its own. No, the International Communist Conspiracy was behind accomplishing what they've accomplished. When you have limited resources, you have to focus your attention on things that will give you the most bang for your buck. So one of the things the communists did was focus on taking over the schools that teach the teachers. So that's where they got a lot of bang for their buck. They focus on taking over the journalism schools, which they did.
They have already.
Absolutely. Decades ago.
Yep. Pretty much every institution in our country.
Yes, and you're right. When they took over the schools to teach the teachers, they put their people, communists, in every city and every village in the United States. Every city and every village. When they took over the journalism schools, they took over command and control of all the media outlets, which would be radio, television, newspapers, magazines, and they filled up those slots with their people. Now we're living the consequences. And it's not going to be a pretty picture, Doug. It simply isn't going to be. Now, out here where I live, the men and women basically still, for the most part, live traditional American lives with traditional American values. There's quite a few, however, that still have adopted the bizarre beliefs of the mass media that's been promulgated on us. Even locally, I'll see men with fingernail polish. I'll see men and women going out in public wearing pajama bottoms, and so on and so forth. So even the more remote parts of the country, like where I live, are not immune from the propaganda perpetrated by the communists on us. They've waited for decades to pull this off, Doug. Literally decades. And now they see the golden ring within their grasp, and they want to snatch that golden ring and take over the whole world, Doug. That's their plan, is to take over and conquer the entire planet.
Do you see them succeeding? Unless I just wanted to let people know, this, to me, is really a very heavy intellectual discussion and necessary discussion, I believe, that we have to take a look at everything. Nothing really, I shouldn't say nothing, but generally nothing happens by accident. It's all by design. We're watching a managed decline, a managed takedown. We're watching this this globalist agenda come to fruition. Do you see them succeeding?
At this point, I think it would take divine intervention to stop it. I don't see the groundswell that we would need to defeat this. The events over the weekend were thousands of people gathered, not only in Washington, D.C., but other major cities to protest the vaccines and the mask mandates. That was good. Not nearly large enough, but it was a good. I'm not sure there's time for the groundswell of support we need to stop this, because our entire culture, our entire society has been changed over the past 50 years, and not in good ways, not in good ways at all. We have women, young women, I should say, on high school football teams. There's something really broken with that, Doug. Really, really broken. To intentionally, the school boards and state laws encouraging young women to put themselves in harm's way by being on a high school football team, my coach would have looked at you like you had two heads if you even suggested such a thing. We don't, in Western society, Western culture, at least traditionally, we don't intentionally put women in harm's way. We simply don't do that. But now we do. We have women in the various military academies. We have three military academies, the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force. All three have been recruiting women now for more than 40 years. Intentionally putting women in harm's way, which at the same time puts men at risk, because the natural thing for a man in combat is to protect the woman who's near him. That's what American men do. And what's what men do in most societies worldwide. Our military, when we have these conferences, the NATO conferences, for example, and our military goes to these conferences, they hang their head in shame when the other soldiers make fun of what we're doing in our military. It's pretty humiliating to be made fun of by your allies because you're intentionally putting women in combat roles. That's not done, Doug. It's simply not done. There's nothing special or unique about American women and men to allow us to do that.
And you look historically, it's never been. I mean, we've never been in this position. It's all about this wokeism, and people will this desire to be woke, this desire for equity, which is an incredible thing. When I say incredible, I mean that by its very definition. It's hard to believe that people actually believe that, you know, we have to, like you said, you know, put women in a combat role, for example, or in frontline positions where they really don't belong, or on a football team, or you've got, and this is the other part of the equation as well, you've got these young boys who, young men, young boys, young children, male children, who are changing sexes because, well, that's the woke thing to do. You know, the parents, the teachers, the counselors, the psychiatrists, the psychologists, and my goodness, do we really need them, you know, pushing this gender reassignment? Okay, this is all part of this woke culture. And it's whether it's combat or you know, catechism, or preschool. It's just this woke infection has permeated into society. Go ahead.
I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to expand on that.
Go ahead.
A man who wants to become a woman is suffering from a mental illness.
Sure.
A woman who wants to become a man is suffering from a mental illness.
And those pushing the children are criminals. They're suffering from criminal behavior. Sorry, but that's, I want to, because that's child abuse. Like, that's just my view, but that's child abuse. If you're an adult and you've got a child and that child is below the age of majority and their brains are still forming, and you're saying, well, you know what, we're going to give little Johnny hormones and estrogen and all this, whatever it might be, you should be really charged with child abuse, regardless of the situation. That's just in my view, but go ahead, continue. I know you're going to expand on that.
Well, the responsible adults, men and women in positions of authority and trust and responsibility, 50 years ago, they would not have cooperated with going along with men and women, boys and girls who are mentally ill and think and believe that they can become the opposite sex. Well, they can't. They can pretend to. But that's all it is. It's a pretense. They may take hormones, they may undergo surgery, but a man is still a man, a woman is still a woman. And we now have people getting in trouble. There was a substitute teacher, and the story, I believe the story is true. There was no reference given as to where the school was, the name of the teacher, a substitute teacher who did not call the student or did not address the student by saying meow when the student had self-identified as a cat.
And they put a litter box in the unisex bathroom in that school, by the way.
Did they?
But see, the fact checkers say that's not true, yet a parent documented that. Okay, so
it was documented.
It was documented by a parent who then went to the school board, who said, look, I was just here last month, and we had talked about this, and suddenly there's a, and I kid you not, a cat litter box in the unisex bathroom for the children who identify as cats or kittens. What in the, seriously, what's wrong with you people? You people, not you, John, but the people that are out there encouraging this kind of behavior. What's wrong with you? Go ahead. It pisses me off to no end. Because psychiatrists and psychologists, in my view, are part of the problem.
Well, they have. They've cut out those sections of the book, the mental illness diagnostic book. It used to be they listed homosexuality as a mental illness. They cut that out of the book. My belief, now I don't have a copy handy, my belief, they no longer list any of these deviant behaviors as a mental illness anymore. So at the very top levels, the men and women who prepare and publish the mental diagnostic manual, they're corrupted also. And it has to be some kind of psychosis in and of itself when you agree to normalize deviant mental illness. It has to be a form of psychosis itself, and we're seeing that at the very highest levels. Our society is really broken, Doug, and needs some great repair. I don't see that happening without going through some massive trials and tribulations first. I really don't, Doug, unfortunately.
Well, you know, and I don't either, and I thank you for that. But, you know, I'll tell you what, once in a while we have to celebrate wins. Small as they might be, victories, because there are people out there who are fighting. We know that. This is not all bad. And I made a sweeping statement about psychiatrists and psychologists. Look, they're not all bad, okay? But the majority I've actually gotten emails from, I don't even know how to answer them. You know, they've got like 17 letters after their name, right? Saying that, oh, you did this, or, you know, how dare you say this? I don't even answer them, okay? I read them and I delete them. But here's the thing. There are some wins that you and I, especially in the professions that we are in. And by the way, I know you call me a broadcast journalist, and maybe that's by definition what I am. I consider myself an investigator with a microphone, as weird as that may be, or as inappropriate as that might be. But having said all of that, in the win category, this, if you can put up this Soros DA image, you and I have spoken about this. Soros alone, his money, his foundations, just poured in money into various district attorney races. Now, if you look at the graphic on the screen, you've got Gascon up there. All the big cities, I mean, or not all the big cities, most of the big cities. Gascon from Los Angeles. You've got Loudoun County represented. Chicago, Kim Fox represented. You've got Bragg from Manhattan represented. But now you've got Larry Krasner from Philadelphia. He's a Soros appointee. Now, John, here's the little win I want to just tell you about, in case you haven't seen that. And leave that graphic up, if you don't mind, just for a moment. So Pennsylvania State Senate President Pro Tem Jake Corman from Bellefonte, he announced last week that there was and is bipartisan support in the State House of Representatives to file articles of impeachment against this mope, against Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner. Okay, this piece of legal garbage, in my view. Now, Corman's running for governor, so take that for what it's worth. But he sent a letter, and John, I want you your take on this. He sent a letter to the Republican-led House this last week telling them to start impeachment proceedings against this guy that you see on the screen there, you know, Krasner, citing the prosecutor's refusal to hold criminals accountable for crimes that they commit. Now, think about this, and folks, think about this. If this works in Pennsylvania, can it, will, and will it work in other states as well? Because Krasner was elected in 2017. You know what? He got $1.7 million from the George Soros-backed Philadelphia Justice and Public Safety PAC. Well, $1.7 million for a flipping DA's job. Have you ever seen, John, $1.7 million for a DA?
They wanted that slot really bad. They contributed an overwhelming amount of money to overwhelm the opposition. These local races, simply, they don't spend that kind of money. They don't.
No,
I mean, not even close.
No. So Corman is pushing for impeachment of this mope. And the reason, of course, folks, you got to hear this. Corman told reporter John Solomon, this was last week, last Wednesday, 100 carjackings already in the city in the first, I think, the first 21 days. 100 carjackings. Krasner, now this according to Corman, has created a culture of crime, a culture of death. You're looking at murder rates off the charts in Philadelphia, the Keystone State, my state. And it looks like this guy's going to get impeached, or at least there's enough there to impeach this guy. Do you think that this will catch on?
I hope so. In my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, district attorney there received Soros money for her campaign. And that became very public actually 2 years ago. When she was refusing to prosecute the Black Lives Matter Antifa people that were raising hell in downtown St. Louis, including marching through the breaking down the iron gate of the gentleman and the lady who were attorneys in St. Louis and became the national prominence. I believe the gentleman is now running for Senate, United States Senate, and I say good for him. He guarded his property with an AR-15, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Alexander Soros, of course, is the one that's doing the day-to-day work.
Right.
George's son. And there's a lot of speculation about who they're carrying water for. It appears that they're implementing the communist agenda to ruin our country, to have our society collapse. This would be part of the attempt to have a national police force, by the way, to have crime in these cities so far out of control that the mayors, who are communists also, call for a national police force to restore order. The national police force already exists, by the way. They've been recruited, trained, equipped, and armed. And they're ready to go. I believe most of them are in the Department of Homeland Security is where they are right now. The regional headquarters for National Police for Eastern Missouri is right off of Interstate 44 there in St. Louis County, the Tyson Research Center.
I've been by there. I've actually seen that facility.
Right.
Which didn't give me the warm fuzzies, by the way. But go ahead.
No. It's so these facilities are all over the country, it's ready to go. They're ready to go. I first heard about the National Police Force. I was having breakfast with a former CIA field agent, and he's the one that told me all about this. So this has been planned for decades in the past, and they need a pretext. The pretext will be out of control crime in the major cities that we need to reestablish order and give people peace and security through having a national police force.
Do you think this will turn into a global police force, though? Weren't you, John, telling me about the global police force?
That wasn't me, but that would be the United Nations, obviously.
Because I believe that what we're seeing here is, yes, federalizing the police. That's kind of the agenda here. And through the DAs, the Soros-backed or the communist-backed district attorneys, having crime just run rampant. And you know, you look at the crimes that have taken place across the country. As we are bringing up criminals up through the porous or non-existent southern border, as we are releasing criminals on no bail, none of this makes any sense unless one looks at it through the lens of, okay, we're resetting everything. This is how we're going to do it. Oh, the Great Reset. This is how we're going to do it. And kind of that's what I'm looking at, the bigger picture. But so little wins. And yes, folks, I know that Corman is a rhino and didn't back Doug Mastriano in the audit in Pennsylvania. I know that, okay, but hey, once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because I'm going to get email about that. Say, well, you know, you're back in Corbett. No. At least he's doing one thing. So, okay.
There's a lot of aspects to this, a lot of nuances. This brilliant, beautiful black woman, I think her name's Candace.
Candace Owen.
Candace Owen, yep. Correct. She's the first one I'm aware of that went public mentioning that the out-of-control crime in these major cities is a pretext to establish a national police force. And I said, God bless her for doing so. When I first heard about this 20 years ago, I thought, how would this happen? Why would it happen? Everybody, you know, every jurisdiction has a police force on one hand. On the other, we're seeing it play out before our eyes. How and why this would happen, establishment of a national police force. They will build up, just like they did with the COVID, they'll build up the fear, they'll build up the anxiety to where people will embrace the idea of a national police force to reestablish order in the major cities. So it's coming, Doug. It's not too far off. I don't believe it's too far off at all. And we're seeing, when we start seeing headlines about crime increasing 100%, 200%, 400%, that's the beginning of creating enough fear in the general public that they will embrace the concept of a national police force, Doug. And we're not too far away from that.
How would Americans take a national police force? And I ask that based on your experience, because I'm talking to an experienced, rational, intelligent man here. How would Americans, would they accept it, a national police force?
I believe most will, unfortunately. The key to understanding all this will be the sheriffs. We have more than 3,300 counties in the United States. Most of those counties have a sheriff. The majority of them still retain their historical and statutory powers of being the top law enforcement officer in that county. The sheriffs will be the key to either giving in or defeating the New World Order. I really do believe that. And the sheriffs I've known and worked with for the past 50 years have been good guys that understand their oath of office, understand their traditional, historical, and statutory power. We've had examples within a few hours' drive of me where the sheriffs would activate the local militia to deal with Black Lives Matter and Antifa coming to their little community, with great success, by the way. Great success. And if they have to, they'll do that again. So we'll see, Doug. I think in the major cities, they'll be accepted more because they managed to take away the traditional power and authority of the sheriff in the cities and counties in the major metropolitan areas. Once you give away from the cities, I believe the National Police Force will not be accepted, and they will serve at the pleasure of the sheriff. The sheriff has the authority to run them out of the county if he chooses to. And I think that's what will happen, Doug.
Interesting. Well, you know, I'm looking here. I'm looking at the entire situation. Again, I'm a big picture kind of guy. So I'm looking at the entire picture. And I think what it feels like to me on the national and international stage is that this unseen hand of this cabal of global, small g god wannabes are doing everything they can right now to expedite, to accelerate their agenda, and to have everything accomplished by 2030 or even before 2025, whatever. And so this is what I'm looking at. And so if I'm looking at it through that, and help me out here as an investigator yourself, a detective yourself, looking at this, what would you expect from a criminal course of conduct? What would you expect next? And I don't know if you saw this. There was a crash over the weekend in Danville, Pennsylvania, about 150 miles from me, roughly, where lab monkeys were being taken, and three escaped, apparently. And they were captured. You heard about that, right, folks?
Right. One was still at large, last I heard.
Okay, maybe, you know, I'm not up 100%. I early this morning, I thought all were accounted for, but I could be wrong. But having said that, at this scene, there was a woman there. I'm saying this kind of in addition to everything else. There was a woman there who went to help the truck driver. And he said, yeah, I'm hauling some cats or something, whatever he said, but they were monkeys. So she lifted up the cage on one of the, blanket on one of the cages that were turned over and stuck her finger in to pet the cat. And here, it's a monkey. So that's not the punchline. The punchline is this. The CDC reportedly sent her an email, letter, whatever, or told her, apparently through the police report, somehow contacted her and says, you know, if you come down with cold symptoms, let us know.
So did the monkey scratch her or bite her?
No, it didn't appear to be. Again, the reports are sketchy.
Okay.
But no, it doesn't seem that way. So what the hell, man? I mean, is this 12 monkeys? Pardon the non-pun there, but I mean, is what's going on here? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And one more thing, in addition to all that, Rick Wiles from True News. I don't know if you know him or not.
I don't know him personally. I know who he is.
Okay. Him and Doc were talking, and this is really important. We're talking about Ralph Baric having CIA connections going back to 2015, according to emails from another doctor who worked with Ralph Baric. So I'm looking at all of this, again, looking at all of this stuff going on and thinking, you know, none of this is accidental, is coincidental. There are no coincidences. I don't believe. I mean, there could be some, but not that many. So anyway, I'm looking at all this. I'm thinking, okay, what, you know, as an investigator, what's your next? Okay, what are they going to do next? Or what's going to happen next? Can we predict that? And can you predict the criminal behavior of psychopaths? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, predicting the behavior of a criminal psychopath, I'm not so sure I'd want to have to rely on that ability. You can predict with some certainty that they will continue their psychopathic behavior. I think that's a fair statement. Other than that, it's a wide
range. I like that, by the way. I like yes. that. Yeah.
the men and women that oppose us, they do have a criminal mentality. Dr. Fauci has been shown to be a liar multiple times under oath. Dr. Fauci is part of a criminal conspiracy to murder many tens of millions of people on this planet. He's actively part of that. The whole COVID-19 matter and the vaccination clot shots, that still is the major issue as far as even over and above World War III, which is part of World War III, quite frankly, the biological warfare being waged against us. We're going to see more fatalities in the next 12 months than we've ever seen in this country. People dying, apparently from heart attacks, apparently from blood clots, apparently from organ failure, when in fact the real root cause is they took the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. And my local newspaper, Doug, that I've subscribed to for 18 years, typically has one page. It's published once a week, one page of obituaries, maybe occasionally one or two on the second page. In the last several issues, there's been two full pages. And I've been talking to several people, funeral directors, flower shop managers, and others who've noticed this also, that the amount of funerals is increasing dramatically. We're going to see that before spring gets here. We're going to see an even greater, more dramatic increase in funerals around the country, Doug.
This was designed to hide the fact that this is directly a causation by this shot. And there's plausible deniability there by the people, creating that shot, as well as different lot numbers, reportedly, different lot numbers having different lethality and
different ingredients.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Ingredients.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's hard to wrap your brain around a criminal conspiracy this grand, that has a worldwide reach to it. But that's in fact what's taking place, unfortunately. And if I can wake up one person today to not get a booster, if you survive the original clot shot, please don't get the booster. Seriously. Maybe you got saline solution in that first time. The next time, maybe not. You're volunteering for being made sterile if you're still of childbearing age. You're volunteering to become disabled or dead when you take these clot shots and the boosters. So don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you felt pressure before. Eric Clapton has gone public saying it was some kind of mass psychosis that got him and tens of millions of other people to take the clot shot. Arguably, the world's greatest guitar player ever can no longer play the guitar like he used to because he was fooled into taking the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. Please don't do it. Save yourself. Seriously, don't do it. Don't take the vaccination. Don't take the boosters. If we can get one point across today, that's something that people can do to help themselves, Doug.
You know, I totally agree with that. I also agree with the fact that we've given up so many of our liberties that over this one issue alone. You know, it amazes me sometimes to think that people use the phrase, for example, common good for the common good. And not see the irony in that phrase or not see the relevance to a Marxist agenda or this Maoist Marxist agenda, globalist agenda taking place. What you're saying, as I hear, as we have about 3.5 minutes left of the show, which is always goes faster than you're on, what you're saying is we're going to see excess deaths, excess mortality because of the bioweapon, not the first bioweapon, the virus, but the clot shot, the jab bioweapon. And from that, we're going to see a depopulation like we have never seen before, but attributed to something less,
Right. Well, so a person dies of a heart attack.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? People die of heart attacks all the time. Well, how about that person being an athlete in their 30s? That doesn't happen. That simply doesn't. I was in a consignment shop over the week or last week, and the lady's checking me out, and they had a stack of newspapers to wrap up things with. And I said, "Do you read the obituaries?" She says, "Oh yeah, I read the obituaries." I said, "I asked her, have you noticed a dramatic increase in funerals the past 6 months?" "Oh yeah, John, I've noticed a dramatic increase in the funerals." So I asked her if she knew what it was from. She said, "Well, how about COVID?" I said, "Well, that's close. It's the COVID vaccination that's killing people, not the COVID." So people are beginning to notice that the funerals have increased dramatically, and they will continue to, Doug. And it's unfortunate people were fooled into this, like Eric Clapton, a great guy, family man, grandfather, great musician. He got fooled into thinking that he would be protecting his grandchildren if he took the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. Now he can't play the guitar. How tragic is that? We had, I don't know how many years left of this man playing the guitar, but that's a loss to the world to lose this level of talent needlessly and prematurely.
And to bring it even closer to home, those people that we live with, that we love, that either succumbed to the initial bioweapon, the bioweapon created by NIH, NIAID, UNC, Chapel Hill, Echo Health Alliance, in Wuhan, as well as the second bioweapon, to those people we lost because of that, I want some payback. I'm telling you, I want some payback. I really do. I want, when I say that, I mean, I want those people to be prosecuted and charged accordingly. That's just my view.
Well, it needs to happen, Doug. Yeah. It really, really needs to happen, which means cleaning out the Department of Justice, among other things, cleaning out the FBI. Both institutions are thoroughly corrupt, and unless there's change in leadership at the top, what you want to see happen is not going to happen, Doug.
I know. And unless we, the people, do it ourselves. John Moore, folks, I want you to go to thelibertyman.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Click on that link, bookmark it, go through that website. Support John Moore. Listen to him every single day. John, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you, Doug.
Appreciate
you. Next Monday. Appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. I just want to say, again, thank you for everything you do. thank you for supporting this broadcast. Thank you for spreading the word about this broadcast. And please, hit your knees tonight. Say a prayer for our nation. Say a prayer. Good night.